This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll take a journey inside the mind of the machine. We'll also give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. This might be one of the busiest hours of radio that we've ever had. Coming up in about 45 minutes, we have the second most popular person in the city. Actually, he's probably third. We have the third most popular person in the city, Mayor Quentin Lucas, on the show. The second most popular person on the show, Patrick Mahomes, he won't be coming on again until football season. The most popular and most important person in the city is now joining us on the show. He's a television broadcaster for your Kansas City Royals. His name is Rex Hudler. Hud, you there?
Wow, C-Dot, come on, man. You are very accurate, very knowledgeable. I listen to, I'm a big fan of you guys, it's you and Sean. But to put me number one, I have my doubts.
Hud, I got to put you number one over Mahomes. I know that some people might question it, but I feel pretty confident about my vote.
Oh, C-Dot, you're beautiful. It's so good to be with you guys. And, you know, just coming from the workout at Kauffman Stadium, seeing a sprinkle of season ticket holders in the stands, they opened it up. To see my partner with a microphone interviewing players on the field, I mean, I love just the ambiance there, the atmosphere. I've never been there where there was an open dialogue with players and asking questions and things. So really getting us excited about tomorrow is the main event as the grand opening happens. But, guys, I can tell you that just a little punch in the gut about Mondesi, that's all it was. Because when you get punched in the gut, and you all know we've all lost our breath, it only takes a few seconds to get it back and you're breathing again. That's exactly how it is with baseball and your players and your team. Well, who's the next guy up? What's going on? You know, you don't spend a lot of time on that, but fortunately, we will see him again real soon. It's something that's going to clear up, you know, in a matter of time. And with this cold weather, rib cages, that doesn't go together. So, you know, outside of that, this has been a fantastic spring.
Hud, I did want to start with that. Let's get the negative stuff out of the way early because I want to talk about the hope and optimism of a new season. Have you ever had this injury that Adalberto Mondesi's had?
Shoot, C-Dot and Sean, I never swung that hard. Are you kidding? I don't understand the rib cage injuries. There were some in my day, but not a lot. I don't think we overswung as much as far as not for the effort, but you know these guys are taking batting practice at 12 o'clock in the afternoon and all day long, so they are getting I think more swings than we did when we showed up at the park at 3 o'clock. For a 7 o'clock home game. So those things have changed differently for sure. But I never had one. But I just know that they're painful. They can reoccur. It's like a hamstring. That's a lion muscle. You rehab it. It feels good. And then once you get out in game action, and then here it comes again. It's coming back. So it's very difficult. But like I said, early in the weather, you know, with the weather being cool, that's just not a good time. So I think it's good that they've discovered that and that he said something. A lot of players don't speak up, you know, especially this time of year. You know, they're opening the season and it's all exciting and everything. They don't say nothing, but I'm glad he did because that potentially could put you out for months.
Hud, one thing I wanted to talk to you about was sort of the buzz and sort of the enthusiasm around the team. The last couple of years, and not counting last year, obviously a very different season, have been some down years, some lean years from Royal standards. But this year, there seems to be a different bounce. There seems to be a different energy about these teams that these guys expect to go out there and win and also be competitive this year.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, and C-Dot and Sean, really, I can't share enough with the fans here in Kansas City how grateful I am for the opportunities, my 10th season here, and I've been able to witness Royals fans, the passion, the energy, the greatness of the people. It's the championship city. There's no doubt about it in my mind. It's a hallowed, a very special position I have to be a color commentator here, to have been imported from California, which is a huge no-no here in Kansas City for them to do that. But I appreciate the fans sticking by me, and of course, winning cures all. But I can just tell you, C-Dot, that, being here, watching Dayton Moore, watching his moves, listening to him talk, watching how he treats people, this is the model organization. If you're a participant, whether you're a broadcaster, a player, or a front office person, you have somebody with integrity in charge of your organization like that. There are others that want to follow. Okay, after the great run, we saw the build up before, and I got here in 12. We weren't that good. We were coming though. I could see the pieces. 13, they're over 500. 14 and 15 were miracles and wonderful seasons here in Kansas City. For me to be a part of that was awesome. Now then, here it comes. You can't keep all those guys. You can't keep the world champions. So what does Dayton say? He says, "Well, my job now is to rebuild up the minor league system." And by golly, here we are 5 years later, and look what he's done. He's built our system. And before, when he built the system, before the World Championship, they were surrounded by mainly position players. Okay, this time around, he's built the minor league system. Now, sure, he still has a couple of blue-chip position players, but it's all about the pitching now, and that's 90% of the game. So all I can tell you is what you've been watching this season, and and how he added position players to help that he wants to win this year, but that minor league system has been built up, and now he's going to draw from that, and there's a wealth of talent down there, and we're going to see it, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and the fact that he went out, him and Mr. Sherman, and they got together and said, "Here's the holes that I'd like to fill." Now, you're not always able to do that, financial reasons or whatever reasons. But he did it piece by piece, and that final piece, who's going to replace our great Alex Gordon, one of the franchise players, one of the best defender, him and Frank White lead the team in 8 gold gloves. Sean, I agree with you. I love Frank White, too, but that defense is a staple for the Royals. And, man, to replace him with Benintendi, to consummate a trade. I mean, I think he'd already spent the money on the free agents, which we don't see a lot of here in Kansas City, but he did this year because there was a surplus of them, and they were able to get some good deals. But, man, I'll tell you, to put together a 2-3-team deal and land a world champion, 24-year-old with experience that's left-handed, that has the second-best defensive metrics behind Alex Gordon, no one saw that coming. This has been a beautiful offseason, and I can't think of a better time to keep the fans excited than right now. Tomorrow, I don't know if I'm going to sleep tonight.
Hud, I got a bunch of baseball questions for you, but something that you were talking about a second ago. I can't believe that you've been here for a decade. That's absolutely crazy. And you talked about the love that you get from the Royals fans. Was that something that you got right away, or did that take a while for them to come around to you? Because, I don't know, you've got a little bit of a unique style to the way that you broadcast.
Oh, you know what? Hey, I'm certainly a different kind of flavor. There's no doubt about it, Sean. The Royals, when they called me in California, I'd had 2 years off, and in my heart, I still wanted to broadcast. So when my boys were young, I'm saying prayers with them at night, and I'm asking God if he can find 29 other teams out there, anybody that needs a broadcaster, that would be great. And look what he did. The Royals called, offered me the position. I said, "Man, are you kidding?" I tried to talk them out of it, really, with all the ex-ball players here and stuff. They said, we wanted experience. You've got 11 years experience in a world championship under you as a broadcaster. and we needed some positive energy, and we know you got that. And so I tell you, they said the one thing that's going to be difficult for you if you accept the position is the fans are going to hate on you, man. They're not going to like it at all. They're going to be upset. Frank White's one of our great marquee players. And so they called it early, and, man, were they right. It was painful. You know, everyone wants to be liked. It's no doubt about it. But I can tell you, even the neighbors, when Jennifer picked out our house and we moved in, you know, we had a pool put in, and I told Jennifer, honey, don't worry about it. But she could feel the neighbors. She could feel the people going, what are they doing? Man, he's going to get fired. We can't stand this guy. But I told Jennifer, honey, when God opens a door, he opens it wide open. He doesn't just crack the door. He flings it open and says, go. And so after the first month where the social media, my daughter was here, and she was helping me handle the social media aspect of it. It was painful just to read what people were saying. And, you know, I told my daughter, as she laughed, she thought it was funny. And I just said, I can't read it. I can't read it. So I remember laying my head down at night at the apartment, or the little place I stayed, a little hotel during the summer. And I lay my head down, and I could hear the arrows. I could hear the arrows of hate. I could hear the shoo, shoo, shoo going over my head as I'm sleeping. And I'm thinking, man, I better keep my head down. This is really rough. And so I made the mistake of asking God, are you sure you put me in the right place? And he told me to shake myself and to go to the ballpark and to be the guy that I called you to be. You bring yourself, your energy, and what you've got, and you pass out your baseball cards in front of the stadium, and you tell those people you're their new color commentator, and I hope you enjoy Royals baseball. And that's exactly what I did. I went there, and I sucked it up. But I tell you what, the first week of the season, when the airplane's flying over Kauffman Stadium with a banner saying, where's Frank? I mean, that was really hard. And then we lost our first 10 home games of the season, our first 10-game homestand. We lost every single game. And I've never in my life as a player in my 21 years or as a broadcaster in my 20 ever saw you lose all 10 home games. So the people kept turning around, and they were looking at the booth saying, that guy up there is the reason he jinxed us. So enough with the negative. It was hard that season. The team started playing better in the second half. I got a call with one of the Royals bosses after the first half of 2012 saying, where's the broadcaster we hired? And I said, he's here. The fans can only take a half a dose of him, though. They can't take a full dose of HUD right now. It's just not going to work. They got to win. I mean, I carry some mean pom-poms. There's no doubt about it. My playing career in baseball was the same, but as a broadcaster, it's a different position. You can't pull the wool over good baseball fans' eyes, so I'm not pulling no pom-poms. So they started winning and playing better, and I started coming out a little more, and then the next game they were 10 games over 500, and the rest was history. And so that's what I tell the people. Winning cures all. It doesn't cure some. It cures all, including the balding, redheaded broadcaster.
Right now, we're talking to Rex Hudler, Royals television broadcaster, for a couple more minutes as we celebrate opening day. Our opening day coverage is brought to you by Google Fiber. Hud, you know how important it is to get off to a good start. Just last year, even in a shortened season, the Royals got off to a 3-10 start. What needs to happen this year to avoid what happened at the beginning of last season and this team get off to a much better start?
It needs to be addressed in the clubhouse like it was. There needs to be an attention to detail and winning. And in a game of fundamentals, we have to do those in order to win. We're going to win every spring training game we can, and we're going to take that mindset right into day one. And we will win the first game, the first series of the year, and the second, and the third, and the fourth. We are not going to accept losing. That type of mentality is what it takes, in my opinion. Now, we all know, and I did as a player for a long time, I was often called Mr. February and Mr. March because I always was the 26th, 27th, 28th man. So I had to come to camp in top shape. I had to have my great career year in spring just to make the team. So, and I, but unfortunately, I knew those numbers didn't count. And then and we never looked at the standings as far as the team goes, but that's got to change if they're going to win this division. The American League West, I mean, Central is a very strong division. We know that. The White Sox went out and got a Hall of Fame manager to guide their ship. They've got some really good players. It's going to be tough, but they cannot afford a slow start this year because it's too difficult in Major League Baseball to catch up. It's just too hard to win games. I love how Dayton Moore goes. Do you have any idea how difficult it is to win a big league game? I mean, he's so right on that. And the fact that he's making the decisions along with his compartment and along with his people, that makes every Royal fan feel comfortable because we have the best in that position in Dayton Moore.
Hud, we got to ask you about Witt Jr. before we get you out of here. He's a top prospect. You were a top prospect. What are the pressures and expectations for somebody in Witt Jr.'s situation?
Well, I was 18th pick overall. He was second, but I was picked by the world champion New York Yankees, and I happened to go from a prospect to a suspect a lot quicker than he will. I can tell you that. I was 17 years old like he was out of high school. I had a high ceiling, no doubt. Being drafted ahead of Cal Ripken Jr., the Hall of Famer, was my claim to fame later in my career. But I'll just tell you that the maturity level mentally and physically wasn't there for me. It's a different situation with a young man like this kid, Bobby Witt Jr. He's been polished. He's played more baseball. I was a football player in a baseball player's body. I was going to Notre Dame to play football. I wasn't a full-blown-out baseball-ready guy like he is. So I was a little distracted. But, you know, this kid here, his pedigree obviously is off the charts being raised in the game. His dad was a workhorse. He was a stallion. And so, really, the branch don't fall too far from the tree, that's for sure. And to see his talent and to watch him last year at the K when the Royals were on the road, when Ryan and I were doing the broadcast, I couldn't take my eye off of him. I was very much distracted from doing the broadcast by watching the game in front of me and watching him go up and him barrel. Every time up, he barreled. And before that, right after the pandemic, he went home to Texas, and he got some live reps and live at-bats from big league pitchers. So that was a huge advantage to him. And same with Prado, and same with our position players, Isbell. We watched all of them last year. And the fact that they saw quality pitching, they're way ahead of the curve than they would have had they even played minor league baseball. So, man, I'll tell you, there's a lot of great things that happened last year, and one of them is to see these young position players come up and make a huge difference.
That is our guy, Rex Hudler, on the Royals television broadcast. You can catch him tomorrow as the Royals officially kick off the 2021 season. Hud, I know there is nobody in the sport who is happier to see fans back in attendance than you are. Have a great day tomorrow.
Cedar, we could talk all afternoon, buddy. I sure do appreciate the opportunity, though, you give me to share my thoughts on our Royals. And I tell you, it's just going to be a beautiful season. And to see the fans, baseball is not baseball without our fans. And that's the bottom line. We love them. We're happy to see them back and can't wait. Thanks again, fellas. Every Wednesday, we'll be talking some ball.
Absolutely. That's Rex Hudler joining us on the show today. He will be on the show every Wednesday at 3:00 to talk some Royals baseball. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. We'll also get back to talking some Kansas City Royals baseball, but let's take a journey inside the mind of the machine.
Baseball starts tomorrow. See that? I don't know if anybody ever told you that. Who's your favorite all-time pitcher to watch? Non-Royals pitcher to watch.
I went to a Buck Knight game. Maybe some of you remember this. I was maybe like 13 or 14, and the Royals were going up against Pedro Martinez. And Pedro Martinez was as dominant of an athletic performance I'd ever seen in my entire life. Even now, like I've seen the Chiefs, I've seen big time games. Like, it was like watching Madison Bumgarner that day in game 7 of the World Series. I mean, the Royals just had absolutely no chance. I think he went 8 innings, maybe had like 16 strikeouts. I mean, he was just on another level than everybody else. I always really liked his swagger, kind of how he played. You know me, I'm a big Zach Greinke person too.
I think that game you're talking about, Pedro actually threw a one hitter. I was looking up some old Pedro stats, and I saw he had a game like right around when you're talking about against the Royals. It was 14 strikeouts. He went 8 innings and only gave up one hit, no runs. Like, that might be the game you're talking
about.
Yeah,
he was amazing.
Who's your favorite non-Royals hitter to watch growing up? Give me Gary Sheffield.
I'm still going to go Zach Greinke.
I mean, for a skinny pitcher, like, you wouldn't think that he could hit like he can. That dude can really hit a baseball.
I mean, Zach Greinke probably could have been in the majors at another position. I mean, he played shortstop in high school, and he obviously can hit. So, yeah, I think Greinke could have definitely gone pro in another position.
I was listening to Cody and Gold earlier today, and Gold said that last night he and a bunch of listeners had a 16-team fantasy baseball draft that went 24 rounds. Does that sound fun to you at all?
I mean, fantasy football doesn't sound fun to me. You know me. I'm not really much of a fantasy guy.
24 rounds, 16 teams.
Was this in person
teams?
Or on the computer?
It couldn't have been in person. There's no way.
It could have been.
With COVID and time restrictions, that thing would have lasted 18 hours.
Cody's vaccinated, though, so I don't know.
There's no way. I said the Zags were going to win every game in the tournament by double digits. So far, they've won every game in the tournament by double digits. Now they're a double-digit favorite going up against UCLA. Do you think they win that game by double digits?
Yeah, probably so. I mean, this is probably where it ends for UCLA. I mean, I actually think the storylines of this Final Four are pretty good. If you think about it, UCLA is the top program out West going up against the new top program out West. And then in the other national semifinal, you've got two teams from Texas that aren't your traditional schools. I actually think the storylines for the Final Four are pretty good. I don't know if both of the games are going to be very close, but, I mean, we're all anticipating. And, I mean, this is probably the biggest national championship, I'm guessing, since the early 90s. I mean, these are the two clear best teams in college basketball. I think this game's going to be played at an incredibly high level. I hope that's the game that we get. I hope that either Houston or UCLA doesn't spoil the party now that we're at this point.
I hope we see it just because I don't know what the line's going to be. I mean, Baylor has proven that they can hang with Gonzaga, and the line should probably be like 3.5 or 4. Gonzaga's, if they get there, that'll be 30 straight wins they've had by double digits and gotten by a couple of good teams in that path. So something tells me it'll be like an 8-point line. Can you imagine? You take Baylor plus 8 in the national championship game? That sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, I would definitely take that.
You're going to lose your money. Speaking of UCLA, Rob, this one's for you. Rank the UCLA big guys while they were at college. Bill Walton, Lou Alcindor, Kevin Love. Isn't that your favorite player?
Alcindor's obviously one. Like, Alcindor's probably the best college basketball player of all time.
Alcindor has an argument of being the greatest basketball player of all time. Yeah, when you think about it, like how good he was in high school, his college career, and his pro career, he is an argument.
I didn't mean this to turn into a Lou Alcindor argument. I just wanted you to say Kevin
Bill
Love.
Bill Walton's two, and Kevin Love, I love Kevin Love. He wasn't even the best player on his team when he was at UCLA, so he's got to be three.
Russell Westbrook.
He might be the third best player on his team in college. He had a better pro career than Collison.
Who else on that
team? Collison was a better college player than
Darren
Kevin
Collison
Love.
Was really good in college.
I was messing around on the old Twitter earlier today, and Mario Died was trending. Are you aware of this? Mario from Mario Bros?
Yeah, so basically what happened was there were some games that were only available for a certain, like, a limited amount of time, and then today is the last day that those games are available, and then tomorrow you can't buy those games anymore, so people were making the joke that Mario had died.
Oh.
That's what had happened.
Oh, I was actually sad.
You think Nintendo just got rid of their highest intellectual property? They're like, we done making money off Mario. We've done it now for 35 years. We give up.
I actually thought it was Luigi's time finally. I mean, he's been in the shadow for so long, has he not?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be making Mario games until the aliens come take us. Jesus, whichever one comes first.
I'm just saying, I mean, who knows which one's going to come first, but, like, when it comes to Mario, does anybody think that Luigi's the better of the Mario brothers?
Yeah, absolutely. I always wanted to be player two. Or player one. Yeah, Mario's whack to me.
Mario ain't whack. The only time that I would use Luigi was
It's a me. No, you're
Mario.
Whack. You're trash.
Mario 2.
Can you imagine playing Mario Kart and you pick regular Mario? That's gross. I wouldn't even pick a Mario when it was only 8 characters.
Mario in Mario Kart?
Yeah, I wouldn't pick him in anything. I only pick Mario when I'm forced to take Mario.
What kind of a basic person has the choice between Bowser, Toadstool, Princess?
I know. I told you Mario's whack.
You
I told
take
you that.
Mario? What's the matter with you? Who was your go-to in Mario Kart?
Yoshi. Yoshi on the original one. As they've started to make more, I'm a huge Toad person.
Yeah. Toad can take the corner so fast. Celebrity birthday time, Rob. Ewan McGregor.
Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I'm very excited for that series they're going to put on Disney+.
I can care less.
basically everything they put on Disney Plus, I'm excited for. I'll say he's 54 today.
I don't know who that man is. I'm at just $1.
Obi-Wan Kenobi's 50. Do you know who Celine Dion is?
I have heard of Celine Dion before.
The Power of Love? That's the way it is?
She's from Canada, right? I'm pretty sure
she is. Oh, yeah, she is Canadian, eh?
61.
$1.
Yeah, she's 53. And she had a residency at somewhere in Vegas. Was she at Bellagio? Help me out, Jay Southland, Tow Service text line. Somebody knows. Somebody probably saw her. Randy Orton.
He's in a beef right now with Soulja Boy.
Oh, yeah?
He
what?
Says, he's, I mean,
that's like, you. That's like a Mad Lib of words.
You should Google it. There is
how does Randy Orton ever end up in the same place?
Some wild
him?
Stuff. He said that his thang weighed more than Soulja Boy, which seems like a very weird diss to tell another.
What the hell does that even mean?
It just seems like a very weird thing to tell somebody else. Hey, my thang weighed more than you. Okay. All right. You what? Got it. You got it. You got it, my G. Randy
I mean,
Orton.
Could you put him on the scale? And so, I don't know.
42.
I'm just reading about the beef. $1?
Yeah, the Viper's 41.
Oh, my goodness.
If you hadn't distracted me with this weird beef, I would have given a real answer and been wrong.
The thang. His thang. His thang.
That's what he said.
Heavier,
he said,
bigger.
He said my thang way more than
what
you.
What does that even
taller.
Mean?
He said taller, his by the way, as I'm okay. reading about
that. That makes me even more confused. Godzilla versus Kong. You excited?
I am actually excited. I probably will go see it in the movie theater, though. I probably will skip it on HBO Max. That's something you gotta get the Dolby Digital. You gotta be in the theaters. You gotta feel the rumble whenever Godzilla's out there terrorizing people. So yeah, I am excited for it. I will see it in the theaters.
Aren't you worried about the dialogue?
Haven't they made this movie?
So what does that matter?
Like
I want to see
times?
It again. I want to see it again.
Okay. What theater's got the best sound? We know where the best screen is. That's that one at Union Station.
It's not that one, but I get it. Because
it's a movie you need good sound.
AMC Dolby.
Good bass.
AMC Dolby's just fire.
I can't believe Alamo, man. The Rona. How could the Rona take away Alamo Draft House,
killed
man?
It.
Alamo was so great. I mean, but AMC, though, especially now that they've redone all of those theaters, so now there's not that many people in there. The seats are super comfy. It's a great place to take a nap. They got the seats rumble whenever something happens in the movie. I mean, AMC's a great place to go see a film.
You can pay $22 and you can take a nap in the movie?
I mean, I've definitely gone in there and taken a nap before.
Take a nap at the crib?
I don't go to sleep during movies very often. I went to sleep when The Rock's Hercules came out. I took my sister to see it because she likes The Rock, and I'm telling you, I don't remember anything past the credits of that bad boy. I was in there. I probably was snoring.
You didn't miss much.
I'm not gonna lie, it was a comfortable seat.
That movie's brutal. The Angels are picked to be worse than the Royals this year. When it's all said and done, which Angel will have the better career, Mike Trout or Albert? You say his last name.
Pujols.
Who's got the better career, Pujols or Trout?
I'm gonna say Albert Pujols because I don't think anybody has any connection to Mike Trout. Like I don't think no one has a Mike Trout story. No one has a Mike Trout memory. No one likes Mike Trout.
Tell us about Pujols.
I think Pujols is probably, I would say he is the most beloved non-Yankee player this side of Chipper Jones.
Yeah.
You don't know anybody
Griffey Jr.
Yeah, I mean I'd put those kind of in the same. So if you want to say post. Griffey, yeah, sure, but there's no baseball player who's more popular than Albert Pujols was.
I'll go with that. Tyler Lockett got the bag today. You see what he got?
Got absolutely paid.
$70 million. What was the guaranteed? 35, something like that?
Yeah.
Is he worth that type of money? 4-year contract, by the way.
I'm going to say yes, just because the salary cap's going up. I mean, I think he's probably one of the better number twos, and if you're thinking, all right, we know it seems like a lot of money. We don't want him to hit free agency. If he hit free agency, he would definitely get more than this because next year, you guys think guys are overpaid right now in the NFL. You don't want to talk about next offseason whenever the salary cap really booms and all of these teams got an extra $50 million in cap space to spend. Some of these guys are about to get stupid money.
What's stupid is all the people testing in Wario is the best driver in Mario Kart. What are you talking about? He was the slowest. That's the Mind of the Machine, and it's brought to you by 7th Street Casino. 7th Street Casino, where it's at.
Someone on the text line says that Mike Trout is on track to be the GOAT. I don't think anybody denies how great Mike Trout is as a baseball player. Mike Trout just ain't got no buzz. No, nothing.
He plays the wrong sport, though, for that. Like, if he was a basketball player and there are only four other guys on the court, his team would make the playoffs every year and probably win championships. In baseball, it's not like his teams have sucked. I mean, he's got Ohtani. He's got a hell of a lineup and has the last couple of years. He's just never won. I mean, what's the moment? What's the game? What's the playoff series? You don't really remember anything about Mike
Trout.
He's
not even the most popular player right now in baseball.
He still is the best, though. I mean, the argument, like, he is probably going to go down as the most talented baseball player ever.
I agree. I think we've all just came to the conclusion that Mike Trout's the best baseball player. We just never talk about it again. Like, that's just it. I mean, he's the first maybe the guy who's worn that crown, especially for how long he was. Like, whenever we thought that about Manny Ramirez, we talked about him. People have a feeling towards Manny Ramirez or Albert Pujols or before that. Like, nobody feels anything towards Mike Trout. You guys don't like Mike Trout. It's cool to say it. Let's give him his flowers. We gave him his flowers, and let's talk about people that you guys actually
don't
care
like
about.
Mike Trout. I don't think anybody's got a problem with Mike Trout.
I'm saying not having a problem and liking somebody are two different things. Nobody has a Trout jersey. Nobody goes out to Kauffman Stadium to see him. No one turns on television to watch him. No one likes Mike Trout.
I mean, I can't really argue with what you're saying. I've never seen a Mike Trout jersey.
Like Albert Pujols. People like Fernando Tatis. You might hate him. People like Bryce Harper. You do not know a single human being that's like, you know who I really love? Mike Trout. I'm a huge Mike Trout fan. That person does not exist. Coming up in a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. I want to celebrate opening day with you in a way that only The Drive can. We also have the mayor of Kansas City coming up in about 15 minutes. That's next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio. We are expecting the mayor of Kansas City to join the show coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Your national cash contest code word for 330 is social, S-O-C-I-A-L, social. Text the word social, S-O-C-I-A-L, to 72881. Coming up in about 10 minutes, the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas, will join us on the show.
Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots. Ruined your black tie
fair. It's not baseball season until we hear this song. When I think of baseball, this is one of the first songs that pop up in my head. If you're Sean Levine, you got a natural light in your hand. You probably got two hot dogs from Aramark. No ketchup, no mustard, one barbecue sauce, feeling fancy. You got your arm around your gal, and you're singing this in the sixth inning of a 5-4 Royals lead? I've got friends in low places
where the whiskey drowns. Come on, see that, and the deer chases my blues away.
I certainly hope the deer ain't chasing the blues away.
I never knew if it was deer or beer.
It's definitely not the deer.
It's crazy how every person, though, like, they put the lyrics up on the scoreboard. Nobody needs them, though, except for me. I feel like everybody else, and apparently you, like most people, I think, that are driving around right now, they knew all the words that they're probably singing along with us.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll be joined by the mayor of Kansas City.
You're lying. I know you hate that.
I actually think it's uniquely Kansas City. I don't have an issue with it. I don't have much of an issue with it. I'm not making it seem like that's one of my favorite songs. I'm listening to it in the car.
They don't even do anymore, do they?
But for 90 seconds at the Royals game, it's not that big of a deal. They play a lot of other songs I don't like. At least everybody likes this song and sings along with it. I don't have any issues with it.
Beer chases. All right, if you like it, cool.
So I was thinking, as we're getting ready for baseball season, you know, there's certain things that let us know baseball season's here. Adalberto Mondesi being on the IR, that's one of those things that lets you know baseball is here. When you hear Friends in Low Places by Garth Brooks, the only person in Kansas City more popular than Patrick Mahomes might be Garth Brooks. Like, we have, like, factual evidence to suggest that he might be more popular than him. Very popular song here. Whenever I think of football, this is the song that I normally think of. Oh, hold on, I gotta turn my computer on. Hold on. Now, maybe I'm the only one that feels this way, but when I think of Kansas City Chiefs football, when I think of the NFL, I think of this.
I'm pretty sure this guy did something he wasn't supposed to do.
This is not that person.
Oh.
I don't even really know much about the Rolling Stones other than they sing this song called Start Me Up.
What song was I talking about?
Whenever they score a touchdown.
You're thinking of Gary Glitter.
Yeah.
I knew somebody did something that we're supposed to. Mick Jagger's fine. Yeah, no, that definitely gets me pumped up for football.
This might be the most popular baseball song that's ever been written. I don't know how anyone can hear this song and just not instantly be taken back to Little League. Good old rain delay music. Grab your mitt. Grab your scorecard.
Go Big League Chew.
This might be a top 10 song.
This ain't a top 10 song. This ain't a top 10 song we played today.
Oh, yes, it did. We're born again. Yes, we are. New grass on the field. New grass on the field, your favorite green thing.
It's one of my favorite green things, that's for sure.
He's a handsome man.
Thank you. I never paid attention to the lyrics until now.
Tell him, coach. I'm ready to play. Baseball is here.
You were 1,000% the right field. That's why you like that song. Which
oh,
is fine.
My goodness. I'm ready to play.
They put your ass out in right field. You didn't even take your glove out there. You just picked the dandelions till they're like, Carrington, get out. You're out. And speaking of rain delays, like, I used to be a Little League umpire. And this was not that long ago. I'm talking about like a few years ago, trying to supplement the old income. Rain delays are the devil. They're the worst thing in the world. Little League game, man. What are you doing? There were parents sometimes that would wait 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, and it made absolutely no sense. So the dugouts where we play out there at 135th and Schweitzer, what's it called, Rob?
It's Blue Valley Complex.
Blue Valley Rec, okay, so Miller's Woods is what we always called it. But whenever there's like a lightning delay, they put you in like a giant metal box, which happens to be the dugout. If I'm ever a parent and I got a kid and there's more than like a 5-10 minute delay, I'm gone. It's not that serious. You're going to wait around for an hour and 15 minutes, risk life and limb, and get rained on so your kid can finish a Little League game? I'm good.
Text line 913-576-7610. I just tuned in and thought you guys were joking about Montesi, but I just Googled it.
No.
WTF. You know I wouldn't joke about something of that seriousness.
I turned on the radio earlier, and Vern was on with Cody and Gold. I thought they were joking, too. I thought they were talking about like a fictional scenario where, for whatever reason, they bring up Bobby Witt Jr. right now. And then I found out, unfortunately, that old Humpty Dumpty Mondesi fell off the wall again.
No, he's hurt. I don't think it's as big of a deal as you think it is.
It's just typical. I don't like things that are that. If it's something that's that predictable, if it's good, it's cool. But if it's bad, it just sucks. You know why? We all knew it was coming. We just figured that, you know, the season would start.
Why? I never thought he was going to play a full 162.
What happened? I mean, it's an oblique, so a million things could happen. What happened? How come this is just a story 24 hours before opening day starts?
I mean, he played on Monday.
And played well. Didn't he hit a home run in the game?
He did hit a home run.
What, he hurt himself trotting around the bases? This dude is Sammy Watkins. For as much as we talk about him and how often he's actually on the field, this dude's Michael Porter Jr. This dude's Greg Oden. This dude really is Humpty Dumpty. Season hasn't even started, and now we're talking about he's on the 10-day DL? Ridiculous.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll be joined by the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri. Mayor Quentin Lucas will help celebrate opening day with us. That's next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey.com app.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up momentarily, we are expected to be joined by the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri. Mayor Quentin Lucas will join us on the show coming up in just a little bit. At the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Mark Gubaza. Our Royals opening day coverage is brought to you by Google Fiber. Doing it big for opening day. In the 4 o'clock hour, we'll have Mark Gubaza on the show. Also, former Royals fan favorite Joe Randa will be on the show in the 4 o'clock hour as well. As we're expected to be joined by Mayor Quentin Lucas, opening day has always sort of held a very special place in my heart. I always got to go to 2 day games during the school year. I got to go to opening day for the most part, and if my grades were right, I could always go to 1 additional day game. Whether it was school day at the K, even though I was older, I could go with my friends. Maybe the Royals were playing good baseball, I had a good report card, and I could always go to the games, but I couldn't go in the September. Like, it didn't matter if it was a September 9th game, you going to school. But always at that point, like in April or maybe like May and I still was in school, I could always go to at least an extra day game that wasn't Orwell's opening day.
I actually think it's bad parenting if you don't let your kids stay home for opening day. And I'm not saying that we've all got the time or the resources or the money to go to opening day, because generally it's sold out and it's expensive and it's a tough ticket. Some people are lucky like you and I, and they've gone to a handful of those things. There's nothing like opening day at the K or back in the day at Old Royal Stadium. I remember many a time getting out of school for the Royals being on the road. Day games versus the White Sox. You mentioned the 90s. Day games versus the Orioles. 5 years in a row to start the season. And I remember being at home by myself in front of the TV back. Like, I'm not talking about a 42-inch flat screen TV. I'm talking about probably a 19-inch tube TV that sat on the ground without a remote. I'm taking myself back, man. But to me, it's bad parenting. If there's, like, what is your kid really learning in school that's more important than what he could be learning or she at home for 3 hours that particular afternoon, staying at home either by themselves with the older siblings or with you watching a baseball game? What I'm saying, C-Dot, is for educational purposes, you shouldn't make your kid go to school tomorrow.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll be joined by the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri, also Mark Gubaza, joining us at the top of the hour. I've always looked at opening day, obviously, as a day of hope. Everybody is 0-0 and sort of the pageantry around baseball and how they really do it up, and it just feels different. It feels bigger than all the other games. You know me, I'm also not somebody who really likes the cold weather. So opening day is always the official day of spring. It's not like once opening day gets here, it just instantly is 70 degrees and windy every day. But it, for the most part, isn't going to snow after opening day. For the most part, it's going to be over 50 for most of the time. You might get some wet days. You might get some rainy days in there. But the cold weather is behind you. For the next 60 to 75 days, we're in spring. And then until the end of May. And then May really highlights the summer. When you think about it, baseball sort of has these, like, flag markers when it comes to holidays. So, like, you look at the beginning of summer as Memorial Day, the 4th of July, that's the All-Star break, it's the midway point, Labor Day. At that point, you really start the push where you're going back to school and also your team is really making that playoff push, and then the competition of the sport really heats up.
I mean, I challenge anybody to tell me there's a better month on the schedule than April on the entire calendar. I'm not just talking about sports. I'm talking about life.
October's pretty strong.
October's good. December's got the holidays. There's a couple of contenders, but April? Tomorrow? That might be the best day of the year. Now, because they moved around the whole college basketball thing, we don't get, as a kid, mom, let me get out of school, watch the Royals game, couple hours nap, and then around 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, the NCAA National Championship game comes on, KU versus Duke back in the day. I'm telling you, man, there is nothing better than the beginning of April for all the reasons that you just named. And frankly, because I've seen a lot of Royals baseball teams that on April 1st I felt pretty good about. And then April 15th rolled around, they were already pretty close to being mathematically eliminated. That's the thing about this team. They have to keep us interested. And I think that that's going to happen. Like, I'd be really surprised if we're talking about them getting off to the same start they have, well, pretty much the last 5 years where May rolls around, and for all intents and purposes, we're still talking about him because it's our job and because we play the games on this station. But it's not really interesting because they're not going to make the playoffs. I think this is going to be one of those years where even after those holidays that you're talking about, even after 4th of July and the All-Star break, that the Royals, I'm not saying they're going to go out there and be buyers or anything like that, but I bet we're talking about the Royals being in it, being a playoff type team for most of the summer.
Coming up in a little bit, we're expected to be joined by the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas, expected to join us in a little bit. Mark Gubaza also coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Josh Vernier was on the midday show earlier today. If you've missed it, check out the podcast page. He was on for an hour. He was on actually whenever the Alberto Mondesi news broke. Here was his reaction to Mondesi being on the 10-day DL to start the season.
I literally fell to my knees. You know, I like to act like I'm not a fan and I'm impartial and I'm just hoping for a good baseball game. But boy, oh boy, talk about a punch to the onions. My word.
That's how I felt too. Sometimes life just always lets you know that it's not fair. Why couldn't it be my oblique? I'm not doing nothing with my oblique. I would have happily given it to Adalberto Mondesi. He needs his oblique way more than I need mine. If I could transfer his pain to me. Now, if I hurt my oblique in the way that he did, I don't think I'd just be out for 10 days. I'd be out by like 100 days, but I'd be willing to do that. But you know what? There's still optimism with Adalberto Mondesi and the Kansas City Royals. Here's Josh Vernier on the Royals playing it safe.
So it says right oblique. I just wonder if you...
Is that worse from hitting for the right or the left side of the plate?
Right, yeah. You eliminate one side of his switch hitting ability. And here we go again, man. This was the first spring training we did not mention to Mike Matheny the idea of playing it safe with Adalberto Mondesi, telling him, hey, we don't want you diving in spring training, because that's really what they've done over the past 2 years.
Yeah.
You treat him like a child at times. I know we're playing a game, but I don't want you getting dirty or dive. This year, all that stuff seemed to be out the window. Just go out there and ball, young man. And he did. He was locked in from day one. I mean, hitting no doubter home runs from both sides of the plate. And again, being locked in there as your number three hitter.
It's really frustrating because Mondesi was playing really well. There was reason to be optimistic towards Mondesi heading into the season. And now we're just going to get a little bit of a delayed start on Adalberto Mondesi. We now know what the plan is going to be tomorrow with no Mondesi in the lineup. Royals manager Mike Matheny confirms Nicky Lopez will get a start tomorrow at shortstop for your Kansas City Royals. Kyle Isbell will be starting in right field. Do you guys think that Lopez will be heading third for the Royals like Mondesi was going to be? Do you think they're going to put Lopez third in the lineup?
I doubt it. I know for a guy that's probably going to end up, well, I'm optimistic, you know, haven't even played a game yet. Maybe he'll go out there and revert back to his minor league ways. It was the threat of him being sent down to the minor leagues that was enough. We've seen that before. Who was it? Was it Yordano? Who was it that almost got sent down to the minor leagues and like something crazy happened where
Yordano got sent down and then never got sent down? Like, he never actually went to Omaha. They sent him down, an injury happened during that game, and he never actually went there.
And now we're talking about right now with Nicky Lopez. Like, he got sent down and then they told us he wasn't going to make the big league club to start. Now he's on the big league club to start. Maybe he'll do the same thing.
I don't think this is a huge deal yet. I know you think it's a really huge deal. I never thought Mondesi was going to play a full 162. Like, he wasn't going to go from what he was to now turning into Cal Ripken. I think the thing now is it's 10 days at the very beginning of the season. Is this a 15-day injury or a 30-day injury?
What do you think?
I mean, Rob thinks he's done for the month. Like, Rob does not think that Adalberto Mondesi is going to be a good player for the entire month of April.
I'm with Dr. Brenton on this one. I mean, based on the track record alone, like, we can argue how good can he be if he's healthy. We can't argue that he's never been healthy. And it'd be one thing, C-Dot, if he did get hurt diving into the stands or his arm got hurt doing something or rounding the bases, he tweaked a toe or a knee or a leg or something like that. An oblique one is very wide open. We don't even know what happened. Last time we saw him a couple days ago, he was trotting around the bases hitting a home run. So what the hell happened? How did it happen right before the season started? And what makes you, C-Dot, think that now that he's hurt before the season even starts, that once he comes back, he's going to stay healthy? That is ignorant.
If I set the number right now at 102 games, that is the most that he's made. Do you think he starts more than or more or less?
I mean, I got to take the overs. That's not that many. And You're asking me, can he play two-thirds of the games, essentially? 102.
If you think that, then this isn't a huge deal.
The most he's ever played is a season where he missed 60 of 162 games. Yeah, so he goes out there and plays 110. That'll give me the overs. I'm not going to be happy about that.
I'll take 110 from Adalberto Mondesi.
Doesn't play 125 to 130 games this year, then how do the Royals even evaluate him? Are we going to do the same thing going into next year and say, well, he got hurt, though. He only played 95 games. And, yeah, he was really bad for a couple of weeks, but he was really good for a couple of weeks. How long are we going to keep playing this damn game?
I mean, if he plays 115 games this season, I'll take that. I don't know about anybody else. I can't speak for anybody else. But I'm saying is, so let's say Dr. Brinson is right here with his lab coat on.
Yeah.
And let's say that April's basically a wash. So that is,
why I don't have the number to the top of my head. Rob,
we're talking like
doctor.
22 games. About, give or take, 22 games in the month of April. So that's already, you knock 22 off, so we're at, what, 140? And then you're telling me just off days and all those things, he plays in 115 the rest of the season? I'll take that.
I'm telling you he's not going to do that based on his track record. I'd be shocked. Like, once they put Humpty Dumpty back together again, you know how the story goes, right?
So what do you have, over or the under on 102?
I'll take the overs, but again, that's not that many. Like, I'll say that he's going to play 110, 115, 120 games. I want him to play 130, 140, 150 games, because then at least the Royals can evaluate him and say, okay, now we've gotten a full season of Adalberto Mondesi to say, here's what's good, here's what's bad. That's been the problem so far, is if you've played bits of five seasons at the major league level, and the most games you've played is 102 out of 162, we can keep dancing around it, but that's the problem.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll be joined by Mark Gubazaw, one of the greatest pitchers in Royals history. Mark Gubazaw joins us. Keep it locked in right here as we continue our opening day coverage brought to you by Google Fiber.